Good morning, Canton.
Good morning, Canton. Out there on 90.7 on Radio Free Canton and online and out to the rest of the world on RadioFreeCanton.net.
RadioFreeCanton.net. You can also find us on Twitter, Revolution Radio with a zero. We have our Tumblr, Revolution Radio with a zero. And you can also catch us on Facebook, too. We got Tricky Dick in the studio here. T. Nelly, I think she might be on her way. I know Tyrone Semper is on his way down, too. So good morning, human beings and fellow comrades and citizens of the world. Oh, boy. So here locally in Canton, we've had some interesting things occurring the rest of the world over the past few weeks, I guess. And Tricky Dick can help fill us in, too. Well, you know, I was hoping you could help us out with that, too. But I guess we had to continue our game of Where's Mitt? We did have a visitor. Yeah. Mr. Mittens came into town this past Monday, was it? I believe it was this past week. Nobody really knew he was stopping in town. But Mr. Romney came in and did his, schmoozing political fundraising out at Glenmore Country Club in Jackson. And
Mittens.
Yeah, is. Apparently. And we also heard a story earlier from this week, too, how he likes to pay individuals. I guess he went to Mr. Romney. What was it? The NAACP? What was that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
He paid some
individuals, to make it look like, African Americans did support him.
Let's be fair. I mean, he's paid for his support. It's totally fair for him to pay for his support.
I guess. But yes, Mr. Romney did stop in Stark County locally, and so what else do we have going on here? We did have a pretty nice action last city council, too, against the proposed selling of our freshwater.
July 16th, yeah. Well, there's a couple things. The city of Canton is proposing two wonderful things for us, and shocker, guess what? We're going to be talking about fracking again today, folks. I know it's the gift that won't stop giving.
Yes.
But yeah, there's two things that are floating out there. One, the sale of city water to fracking activities, but that's not on the docket immediately. The one that's of immediate concern is the potential leasing of city-owned land for fracking, and that's what the action on the 16th was all about. It was in conjunction with several fine groups, including Food and Water Watch, and actually we'll be hearing from one of the fine people from Food and Water Watch later on in the show.
Right on.
A lot of great stuff was happening today.
Do we have General Assembly today, too? We'll get back to you on that one, folks. I believe we do, though. I'm just not quite sure what time here locally, if you're listening in this morning. You can get on Occupy Canton, Ohio, their website and Facebook for that, more information on that. But I do believe there is one today, this Saturday. Anything else, locally that we want to touch base on?
Well, just going back to the city council meeting, because one of the other things that happened from that is that basically there's a group of people who we all gathered in front of the Chesapeake offices in downtown Canton and marched from there to City Hall for the council meeting. And actually, we actually had some decent media coverage for a change. And so,
that was
good. I think we have our friends at Food and Water Watch to thank for that. So,
Chesapeake Oil and Gas in general, they are pretty good at what they do. I have to say, they are. I don't agree with anything that they do, but skewing the media and maybe experts in public relations from time to time, they kind of can convince a lot of people that what they do is safe. And in reality, we know the truth.
Well, that's what's important about having the people speaking during the city council meeting, and it was a fantastic thing that happened. I mean, there's something like 29 speakers, for it.
And for folks that aren't aware as well, there was actually a tragedy that very same day, if I wasn't mistaken, and the individuals that went to this march. And marched from Chesapeake to the city council. They actually did it in silence, in remembrance of the individual in Bolivar. If you want to touch on that too, that was something that also happened locally.
That's absolutely true. We had a little bit more of a rambunctious agenda that was set initially. But in lieu of the tragic events that had happened earlier that day with the 19-year-old man who lost his life at the explosion at the well in Bolivar, instead of doing that, okay, there we are. We can edit this.
Yeah, you're good.
That's the beauty of not doing it live.
You're good.
There we go. Where was I? I was talking about
Bolivar.
Bolivar. I forgot where I was.
We were just talking about the individual who, the unfortunate accident. We had not, a young boy. What was he painting? In fact,
he was 19 years old. I don't think anybody's exactly sure what was going on. I've heard some things say that he was power washing something, getting ready to paint. I heard something.
Okay.
I've heard all sorts of different things. I don't really know. I'm not sure how it's gonna pan out either. I know the coroner's office was talking.
Either
about
way,
what they
we had a
do.
Death related to oil and gas and natural gas. And for a lot of people who have been paying attention to this issue. In particular, it was not if but when that something like this was going to happen here in Ohio. And the worst case scenario did. So now what? That's what I don't understand. We're going to keep pushing through now with something that's already killed one individual, that was, an innocent bystander at the end of the day.
And that's just recently.
And that's just recent, here in Ohio. But again, and this isn't even – this is somebody that's, perhaps I think that worked for – the industry, if I'm not mistaken, he was a subcontractor, is what the report said in the Ken repository, anyway. But he was actually going to be going to Kent State next year. From Baldwin Wallace. So it's just very, very unfortunate accident. A young man, again, 19 years old, left this earth, way too darn early, because of a sketchy oil and gas tactic that we need to use when the technology is already there anyway, to use renewables. And not to mention, on my way to the studio this morning, I saw plenty of little mini solar panels now that are operating at street corners. So I don't know why we can't put some of those on top of buildings instead of relying on natural gas. I love it. Driving to and from things now, even on the highway, we're utilizing more and more solar panels, for our for electricity, for our electric signs that they have too on the highways and whatnot. But oh boy, sorry, I went on a little rant there. At the end of the day, it that stuff gets under my skin when people start dying innocently because of money. At the end of the day, that's when I'll get a little fired up and pissed off. So I appreciate the individuals who went to the city council meeting on Monday and spoke your mind, and told people how it really is. Just respect and I'm proud of you guys.
And here's something that needs to be said. This city council is listening. We can get the change that we want. The ordinance that's out there is not a done deal. If we get people out there, if we get more support, then I think that we can make. It's very clear that we can turn this into our advantage, and that we can get this ordinance squashed. I don't know what Mayor Healey is thinking in even suggesting it, but I think that we can. I think that
I hope
the city council is right there, ready. They just need us to go out there and take it. And so we need the support. We need people out there. If you live in the city of Canton, we need to hear your voice in particular. And then, anybody who has city water, of course, but they're the ones who the city council are going to listen to first. And so if you're out there, we need you out there. We'll be doing another action on the 30th. Be ready. We'll have more details about that next week.
Right on. Yep. I mean, it's important to act now against this. We've watched this happen here in Ohio for the past year. I was just made aware last year and now... of this entire issue, and now it really is coming to your doorsteps, folks. So I really hope you start paying attention and acting, or at least informing yourself at the end of the day. Start looking into things for yourself. Do not rely on the TV to tell you everything about oil and gas and how good it is for us, because it's false. I shouldn't even say that. Just start thinking and researching and looking for yourself.
All right. Other things we briefly touched upon what's going on at 30th, and like I said, we'll have more details next week. But just looking forward to a few things. July 30th is the last city council meeting and the vote for the for the ordinance to lease city land for fracking. So, so once again, we need to make sure we have as much support as we can possibly muster on that particular day.
And then, on
the heels of that, there's an awful lot of things that we that we're going to be doing at that point. You know, whatever happens in Canton, immediately after, we need to start turning our attention to the state and the state house and trying to get things done on a statewide level. And so,
The state of Ohio got some, we got some attention earlier, was it this month that they had? Or no, that was in June. Or no, that was July, wasn't it?
I have no idea. Well, you need to tell me what you're talking about
in Columbus.
First.
The fracking action in Columbus.
Yeah, that was June 17th.
Right. So we have been drawing some attention already. You know, we've been giving out our SOSs, I guess, is what you want to call it. But, we just got to take that momentum in stride and keep pushing.
Make no mistake, we're the front line right now.
Oh, yeah.
So
I mean, Mr. Josh Fox. You know, I met him for the first time last year at it was at PowerShift in DC, and he told us, "You guys are the next Gasland." He did. He was like, "You guys are it." You know, they're coming to Ohio next.
Speaking of that, another recent event that occurred was a screening. I think it was made by the same people who did like Best in Show and Spinal Tap. It was called Truthland, and it was this. Magnificent little piece of satire that shows how people who support fracking talk and think, and it's I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was extremely well done.
A half truth is a whole lie, correct? Some famous person has said that to me before. I met her earlier this year. She's quite an interesting individual. But a half truth is a whole lie. Can't get away from that because it's true. It's true. But so Truthland will be. They're actually going to screen this movie, folks who haven't heard of this movie. It's in rebuttal to Gasland, and they will be.
Wait, that was a serious movie.
Yeah.
No, you're crapping me, right? That wasn't.
No. You're not dreaming. You're in the real world. You're here. This might be the Matrix. I don't know yet.
That wasn't brilliant satire.
No. No, that was very clever filming,
fact-finding. Hold on a second.
And research and diligent,
it was either brilliant satire.
Just elbow grease, that good old American, blue-collar work. Just, yeah.
Wow. I'm gonna have to sit back and reassess everything. I thought it was satire.
What's the smack in the face is that they're following up Gasland that was screened last year on campus at Kent State, and it's actually Kent State Stark. So they're gonna screen Truthland at Kent State Stark this year, right after Gasland. I find very interesting.
Right.
Among the many other movies that Split Estate, which is another great one, they've screened there too. But yeah, they gotta get their, the real truth out there. Yeah, people can't be misled, right?
That wasn't a
by
comedy.
Us crazy and
no, I'm still stuck on this. All right, well, I'll tell you what,
Tricky Dick, Tricky Dick, just full of it today. Just the hot air and just making people laugh. That's what he does.
I'll tell you what, we're gonna be going to a quick music break here, and when we return, we will have. We'll have a friend of ours who actually knows
a special guest who's
gonna kind of augment our knowledge on a wider scale of this whole fracking issue. A fellow fractivist and rabble rouser and general pain in the butt to the man. So,
this is Revolution Radio, RadioFreeCanton.net. You can find us at 90.7 FM here locally in Canton at and also on Twitter, Revolution Radio with a zero, and our Tumblr and Facebook.
All right.
Revolution Radio.
90.7. Tricky Dick, a mic check in the studio. Tricky Dick brought in a special guest today, if you want to bring him in, sir. Who do we have here today?
Well, we have Brian from Food and Water Watch. He's a summer organizer for Food and Water Watch. And he's coming to us all the way from the capital of Kentucky, Cincinnati.
Morning, you. Sir.
Very nice. Capital of Kentucky.
Yes.
Didn't realize that Kentucky was so large.
See, I wish Kasich would have put in that high-speed rail. We could just hop on the train and go to Hiltucky straight from here. No, just joking. No, thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself or what exactly Food and Water Watch is for individuals out here who don't really know.
Great. So Food and Water Watch, we are a national organization based in D.C. We work a lot on food and water issues, obviously, as fracking is such a big threat to clean water resources. We work a lot on that. We also work on some water privatization issues across the state. And then kind of on the other side, on the food issues, we like to take on people like Monsanto. We're running a campaign right now to get genetically engineered foods labeled. So identifying where Monsanto is putting their seeds and growing their Frankenfood and putting it on our shelves.
That's awesome. It's great, great, great work, great stuff. And more individuals, I feel now, I can sense some people now, they're really starting to pay more attention to really actually what's in their food and where it comes from and things like that, you know. Outside of the sense, too, of buying and shopping locally just to support their community, like literally being invested in looking into, like, this is in my food, that's in my food. I know those things aren't good for me. You know, like the GMOs, I think you were referring to.
Right, and it's just a right to know.
Oh, absolutely. I think people should look more into it. I myself have the past year, and I can't really eat meat anymore. I just, you know, knowing from, unless I know really where it's coming from, can't do it. Education. But anyway, sorry about that. So about fracking, though. What have you guys been doing here in Ohio?
You have a little bit of a wider perspective. We talk about fracking week in and week out here on Revolution Radio. Yep. Because it's
right here.
It's the
you guys
topic
are the front lines.
Of the time right
yeah.
now.
So.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are doing great work here in Canton, and I always love hearing the reports coming from this area. And what we've been doing basically is providing support for groups like you all across the state. Myself and my boss are based in Cincinnati, and we've been working with Cincinnati City Council down that way and pushing them to ban fracking in the city of Cincinnati. And we've had a number of conversations with them. We're not the front lines like you all. We aren't really an ideal spot for actual fracking, but we are an ideal spot for injection wells. And so we're kind of this transportation hub. And the railways come through there, and we can just foresee us becoming the next front line right behind you all. So we're trying to be ahead of the curve, make sure it's banned there. And Cincinnati is a much easier place to push for a ban. And then once we get that put through, then we've launched a campaign in Cleveland working on the same thing. Cincinnati has already passed a resolution taking a stance against fracking, passed unanimously. City council is unanimously standing against fracking. And actually, Oberlin copied our resolution and passed it as well. So
that's fantastic.
We're seeing the resolutions pop up around the state. So just working with the city councils and then trying to move people to these council meetings, just like you all did on Monday, and just get in their ear. This is about the people, not corporations. So
yeah,
right, exactly.
Yep.
So some of these things that are getting you'd mentioned, like what Cincinnati and Oberlin has adopted, so on and so forth. Are we having much success on the eastern part of the state? I mean, because that is the front line right now. I mean, northeast and southeast Ohio is where...
That's what, Marcellus and Utica.
And Utica.
Yeah, we're seeing some successes in the eastern part of Ohio, and they're coming in interesting forms where, you know, we see the community rights-based ban or the CELDEF bans. People talk about that sometimes. Some of the places in eastern Ohio are looking more at how can we more substantively ban it that in a way that will actually stop it. In Athens, they did a wellhead protection ordinance. They did where you're not allowed to single out oil and gas in your legislation. You're not allowed to pick on poor little oil and gas. but you can make legislation that protects your water wellheads. And so they said, oil and gas, you're not allowed to come here, or pesticides. So that was their little trick
right.
to protecting their water resources. And then Mansfield is doing some different types of things, you know, with the road use and those type of
yeah,
methods.
Yeah, that's similar to what Plain Township has done with not allowing drilling to go underneath the roads.
I was just getting ready to say
As part of their, yeah.
That was a clever different ban or resolution, however you want to call it. But, yeah, you can't go underneath the streets.
So it's great that there's sort of like, you know, that, I mean, right now the only option that we have available to us, readily available to us, is to create sort of this patchwork of different ordinances and different things with all these different, you know, local communities, primarily because local control was taken from the communities, you know, by the state. And so, you know, in my mind, you know, the real bugaboo here is the state. The state legislature, so on and so forth. And
sure.
So, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how we're approaching the state so that, you know, we can do a little bit more than just, you know, what we're doing here in Canton and everywhere else is really important work, but to a large extent, it often feels like a Band-Aid compared to the major issues that the state is in control of. So maybe you can give us a little perspective there.
Right. Well, some of the things going on the state level right now, well first and foremost, our state legislature is almost completely controlled by the Oil and Gas Association. And so they're very difficult to work with. We saw that they rolled out large subsidies and infrastructure in Senate Bill 315. So they're going to be very difficult to work with right now. We do think we can maybe move them on the local control issue. You know, it's insane that, you know, city councils and local communities have had the right to control what's going on and protect the health, safety, and welfare of their citizens taken away from them by the state, and we think we might be able to move somewhere on that.
Okay, something just occurred to me that's making me a little bit curious. So, you know, we have like these energy companies that are coming in and paying this money out to our politicians, you know,
absolutely,
so on and so forth. As the case may be, you know, real shocker. I mean, there's nothing new there. But as far as like,
it's like the first thing they have to do when they come in. It's like you got to win over PR. You know, spread your wealth out first, and you know, gain some, you know, public opinion or public support before you even start doing anything.
And so that's going to the individual politician. Now, when we're talking about the government itself, you know, where does the government get its funding?
Mm-hmm.
You know. I mean, it's just another play on the exact same thing that we've been screaming all along. You know?
Money out of politics.
But money out of politics on one hand, but for the politicians to at least have some acknowledgement as to where the money from government is coming from.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know,
the latest trick we're seeing from Kasich now is he's trying to push through a severance tax, taxing the industry and giving it to local communities. Sounds nice, but actually what you see in places like West Virginia and the coal fields, southeastern Ohio, where they've seen coal mining, is when you create a subsidy or a kind of a reward, or it's really just a payoff for these communities to accept these forms of extraction, the community becomes dependent on a short-term resource, and it becomes a crutch for their entire budget. And so once the extraction's over, 5 to 10 years, then you no longer have any way to fund your budget, and a lot of businesses have been run out of there because of the industry coming to town. And so that's his trick to make it more amicable for people to see the drilling rigs in their neighborhoods, is the notion that we can just throw money at them and hopefully they'll just accept it.
Hey, mic check. I'll give you $5 to suck on a tailpipe.
No comment. What? Like, what? It's 8:27 a.m. Yes,
it's an analogy.
I know this.
You know, it's like one of those structures in the English language that you went to Kent State.
I can't read, can't write, but we do all right. No. Yeah, no. This is something I'm learning this morning about cases in these two, but it doesn't surprise me. You know, it really doesn't. I've watched this man, you know, coming to Ohio after bankrupting the Lehman Brothers, you know, and just now going, how did we let this happen? You know, this guy that pretty much dictates our state, you know.
Well, one of the really disappointing things about this, too, about the whole severance tax thing, is that the language and the rhetoric used around it is somehow, some way being successful in wooing groups and organizations that I would think are more than less natural allies of the people, and which would be more than less the allies of the anti-fracking groups, and that's the thing that's most disturbing to me. And the thing is that in my mind, what that does is that reduces this entire issue down to money. And if what we're saying is that we just want our piece of that particular pie, then people who are supporting the severance tax, for all intents and purposes, from a moral and ethical perspective, are no different than the oil and gas companies and all the people who are trying to suck off that particular teat for cash. Mm-hmm. And I know what my perspective is, and it's that, you cannot pay me to poison myself, my family, my neighbors.
That's twisted and messed up if you think about it. I mean, seriously.
And another thing is, as you look at Chesapeake and what happened in Pennsylvania and what's happening now in Ohio, a lot of the revenue they're projecting is based on these estimates of how much gas is down there. And we've seen places in Pennsylvania where the amount of gas that they projected was 900% more than actually was produced. And so as they look forward and they start basing the tax revenue projections on these faulty numbers, cities and local communities are going to start balancing their budget based on all this money they're going to get. And then when it comes through and once it's gone, well, we didn't get that much money, so now we're bankrupt because...
Wasn't that a similar study you guys did, or was that the Ohio State study? Or didn't you guys both do a similar...
I haven't seen the study. I know that the Food and Water Watch materials have the 900%.
Yeah,
And that was something.
I read that.
And there's a citation in our material, and you can find more information and check out our information on our website, and that's foodandwaterwatch.org. And you can find all the reference materials there.
Excellent.
Yeah, accounting.
That's I remember great. We were
accounting
trying to.
Practice is brought to you by Enron.
It's essentially it's very similar to a large pyramid scheme.
Well, don't you remember? I think it was a few shows ago, Mr. Tricky Dick, that one of the individuals, it was an article from Forbes, but one of the analysts that went into Enron was also now looking at Chesapeake, that discovered the Enron scandal. And now he's looking at Chesapeake going, they're spending $12 billion, but they're only profiting $2 billion. How are they doing this? When you bring in, these numbers by overinflating, what they're actually producing or what's actually down there to sell, there you go.
Well, it's interesting. We have Aubrey McClendon, FBI investigations, things like that. We have Chesapeake now trying to renegotiate half their land contracts already. And they've just begun here in Ohio. And they're trying to renegotiate these land contracts because they've purchased way more land than they can afford right now. They've gotten way ahead of themselves, and it's almost starting to turn into a very similar situation in the housing bubble in the sense that they've gotten way over their means, they're way overinvested, they're not getting enough returns yet, and there's a lot of questions already.
And there's a securities insurance out there that's basically set up to profit off of that collapse so that they can make money one way or the other. Just going back to Wall
right,
Street.
And that's Aubrey McClendon, and that's his conflict of interest. And so, it'll be really interesting to see what happens. Are they too big to fail?
Oh, boy. That's, man, should we take it to a music? I mean, that was... Give me goosebumps there a little bit. What if that's the
Zinger.
Next? Seriously, what if that's the next big corpos to get bailed out? Do they dare try and bail out failing oil and gas companies? Wall Street and our government colluded together. Would it happen? Would that be too big of a knock to our jobs that we have already?
Well,
that they claim that they've created.
This is going into a much deeper and more complex
it is.
Argument.
But that's the
thing to find out is if there's any way to ascertain where Chesapeake does all of its depositing, which banks or bank
overseas, perhaps.
I doubt it actually. Maybe personal money, overseas. But as far as the corporate money, no, that's definitely done with with our Wall Street banks.
Mm.
And there's an interesting nexus between the large Wall Street banks and the large energy companies. Basically, the Wall Street banks could not be what they are without the deposits that they get from Petro Energy.
Yeah, okay.
So, anyway, that's a whole other show right there.
Hey, that's where I went, because it could happen, though. I mean, we're watching disturbing things happen left and right today that other individuals aren't necessarily understanding, but...
All right. Let's say what we're going to go to our next music break here, and when we come back, we have a bit of an announcement for something that is, I would say, state, national, and dare I say,
global,
worldwide.
Do we have
something or another? So get the bongos out. We'll do some partying here.
Revolution Radio,
90.7, and Radio
FreeCanton.net.
Revolution Radio.
The Postal Service.
A little Postal Service.
All right.
You know, got it. Gonna wake you up and gonna put you back to sleep. That's
I was telling Tricky Dick over break. I'm like, we're all sleep deprived and struggling here, and I'm like, man, this is gonna put me back to bed. Good morning, individuals. You can find us on Twitter, Revolution Radio with a Zero, and on our Tumblr and Facebook. So we had an important announcement. Correct.
Oh, yeah. Big
rumor has it.
Rumor has it. If Voice of the Future were here,
dun dun dun.
All right. So, Brian, can you please let it? Okay. Global announcement here. There's a good chance you're hearing it here first, and so with no further ado.
No pressure, y'all. Yeah, so
do we have breaking news at Revolution Radio, perhaps, for the first time ever? Breaking, current, right now, before anyone else.
That's right, you heard it here first, folks.
Love it. Sorry, go ahead.
September 22nd, mark your calendars. Food and Water Watch is working in a lot of communities. Worldwide, we are planning a global frack down. So communities around the world will be organizing in their communities, doing actions, and whatever that means, you know, especially folks like here, your front lines. So mark your calendar, September 22nd, and look for stuff on our website really soon, foodandwaterwatch.org.
Already got it up on the Twitter.
And it's on the Twitter.
This little fancy thing called Twitter, people use it from time to time.
And be ready to take to the streets.
Heck yeah, right
that
on.
Day,
so.
Folks.
9/27
with
2012.
That in mind, as a part of the global Occupy movement, I in conjunction with that, to have the Occupy movement to have a global day of action in solidarity with the global frackdown. So there we are. We're throwing it out there, and we're going to push it as much as we possibly can. The world is going to hear Ohio.
And this will be kicking off a global coalition to ban fracking worldwide. So it's a lofty vision, and let's get together and let's do this.
Why not? You know, why not make the call? You know, that's what I love about Food and Water Watch. They just say from the get-go, you know, I've met individuals, they're like, why go for these moratoriums? Just call for the ban right away, you know, on fracking. Cause you know, when this was coming into Ohio, well, I don't know. I don't want to, you know, ruffle some feathers and create waves. But, you know, Food and Water Watch, they stay diligent from the get-go. They really have just say, nope, ban it, get rid of it. It's awful. So thank you for your work so far, you know, and we'll continue to, you know, obviously be working together. But it pumps me up a little bit. Seriously, you know, we're going to make a global call, you know, a global frackdown. That's cool.
Right, and it is concerning, you know. I mean, this is obviously an industry to us that will never be safe. And, you know, we saw what happened with that the tragedy in Bolivar. And,
yeah.
And there is an oversight. And we hear the industry say over and over again, there's a lot of regulation, there's a lot of oversight. You know, there's 34 inspectors of the Ohio Department of Natural Resources overseeing 64,000 wells in this state. That well was not inspected. It has not been inspected in 10 years. And, you know, it's a tragedy, and it's really sad that happened. And, you know, no one's watching. You know, these wellheads, as you know, they're starting to drill these wells. They're telling us there are people there watching this. That seems almost impossible to us that anyone's actually watching what's going on.
Sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, see,
that's common sense. Sorry, go ahead.
That even if the state had the strict had the true blue strictest regulations in the world concerning natural gas extraction, it wouldn't matter because there isn't enough staff to do anything about it. I mean. This isn't, you know, something that's new. I mean, how do you make the EPA irrelevant? Well, you gut it. You take away all the entire staff and then switch the top. I mean, that's
pretty stunning PR, what they've accomplished in the PR realms, that they've convinced people that toxic chemicals, radiation, and earthquakes and flammable gas are safe. Good jobs for Ohio.
Seriously, they really are. I mean, if there's one thing they really are good at, it's manipulating. Absolutely, through and through. They can convince people that what you just described is good for you, you sure ingest it, take it in. It's fine. It won't harm you. I mean, in fact, I love how this is another local issue that we didn't even mention, but how Chesapeake is actually going to settle down in Louisville, Ohio, around here, I believe. And so to cover their ass already, they've sent out their water testing via the EPA saying this is what's in your water right now. So they just, you know, trying to back it up, saying, nope, here it is. You know, your water's totally safe and fine. They've already dispersed those in Louisville and Canton.
Right. Yeah, Louisville is so.
Oh, the
yeah.
Constitution town.
Is that right? And maybe they should be the Utica capital since Canton doesn't need that moniker anymore.
Sure, they can take it. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, by the way, in case you weren't aware, Canton has been... It was first redubbed from the Hall of Fame city to the Utica capital and has been since redubbed New Iceland. So
New Iceland.
Just so you know. So that means the Utica capital name is free and available, and evidently Louisville can now stake claim to it. So,
well, I thought you might enjoy this tidbit also. I heard you talking about Truthland earlier. Rumor has it that the main character in Truthland, her water has been contaminated by fracking. From her neighbor, Least, and we're catching word that her water is contaminated, so maybe she'll be the next star in the next Gasland.
Yeah, there's going to be a sequel, correct? There's a second right. Gasland Wait. That Fox is filming right now?
I did ask the mayor if he was going to be able to have a sit down with us and watch the Gasland. He says that they've already watched it, so...
Cool, can we sit down with him and watch Truthland?
Yes.
T. Nelly, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, T. Nelly is in the house.
Good morning.
T. Nelly in the house. Good morning, everybody. No, I sent a message over to him asking him if he would like to have a screening with us of Gasland, and he says that he's actually watched that and Truthland, and actually the whole city council has, so they know what they're up against. So that's even scarier. If they're still willing to do this, then what is that?
I made that.
What does it say?
It's the Pro Football Hall of Fame with the Utica Capitol on instead, with our mayor redubbed Canton as.
Awesome.
It's my meme. Anyway, go ahead, T. Nelly.
That's all I was going to say.
T. Nelly in the studio,
I like
folks.
The little logo that they've developed, the little water drop.
Yeah, right.
You know, maybe you could redesign that with some flames.
Well, then it wouldn't be Orwellian.
Yeah, come on. It would just be real. It would be accurate.
So
God forbid.
But there's a lot of really... since you brought up Truthland, I love how at the end of Truthland they said that she wasn't paid to be in the movie. However, it is kind of obvious that she signed a lease, right? And that she's making money, presumably, from that lease. And so how exactly do you say that she's not being paid?
Well, I don't know if she leased. I know her neighbor did. But you can say that once you film the movie, and then, of course, you can just pay them after you've released the movie, because then it's accurate that she wasn't paid until after the movie was released. So at the time they made the movie...
Right,
that would be my guess.
You know, I thought in the movie it said that their family, whatever they had.
Oh, leased. That's right. She did decide to lease, didn't she?
Yeah, I think that's the case. I'm not entirely sure, because you just put doubt in my mind. Damn. And so, assuming that's true, then obviously the irony's there. But then even if it's not true, what you said still holds true as well. Really, Truthland. It was an inspiring piece. No, I keep on thinking it's an inspiring piece of satire. But
if you haven't seen Josh Fox's response, the sky is pink.
The sky is pink.
That's really clear that the gas industry knows that they're contaminating water, and they've known for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that these are just basic semantics tricks. You know that.
Well, the semantic game is the best part of it. Like once again, okay, you know, in Truthland, they were talking to some of the experts. How they were struggling to say the exact right thing so that they couldn't be, you know, wrong. Where it's like there is no case
muddy in the
ever
water.
That of fracking causing problems when you have a hippo in the room at the same time
right.
that an asteroid is striking somewhere
and
in
two suns
Scandinavia.
Are setting, yeah, at
and,
the very same moment
there is a solar eclipse.
While you're doing a cartwheel,
and it's like, yeah, yeah and mm-hmm. so you sit there and you listen to him. And say, well, he's probably
yeah.
right.
Yeah, I bet that scenario has never happened. God, masterminds there. No, I gotta watch it again. I've only seen it once.
Oh, we got a DVD.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Why don't we post it?
Oh, hey, by the way, Miss Tinelli, Food and Water Watch is making a global frackdown call in September, my friend.
Actually, they have on the 28th of this month, they're going to be in Washington, D.C. for the big fracking event.
Stop the frack attack. Yeah.
Yeah, we can definitely plug that, too.
Another thing that's going on is the Democratic National Convention, the DNC, is coming up.
Yes, it is.
We've got a lot of things going on, and I'd like to pull in my friend Sean eventually, and that way he can give you guys a heads up.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that. I definitely think we should bring him on at some point, too, and talk about both conventions, in fact, you know, absolutely.
Yeah. He's got, like, three things going on, and he's been all over the place, so.
Yeah.
I mean, that right there says a lot. He's one of the guys that took me in when I went to Washington, D.C. for the Occupy the Courts.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a great story to tell.
Perfect.
He spoke there on Citizens United. I mean, he's just an amazing guy. Great spirit. A wonderful story. And, you know, he's easy to connect with.
Right on.
Oh, very cool. Just really quickly, one last thing we were talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah, StopTheFrackAttack.org has a bus scheduled to leave from Columbus, Ohio, folks. So you can go there and register for the bus until it fills up. I think that they're asking $10 to $30, unless you're really hard up. You just get on the bus. We just want you to be there. So.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you get a choice? $10 to $10?
Yeah, whatever you can throw down. Yeah. Okay.
Very good.
That's pretty sweet. So where's the bus taking off from again?
I believe it's leaving from Columbus. All right. Overnight, Friday night, the July 27th, and it'll be back overnight Saturday night. So we're going to go straight there, participate in the action. It's going to be a great action, actually. We're going to go, I believe it's one of the oil and gas headquarters in D.C. I'll have to check again. But we're going to build a fracking rig right in front of them. We're going to frack their front lawn, and then we're going to tear it down and put up a windmill instead. So.
Yeah. I've always said that. I'm like, you know, if they want it so bad, why don't we put just like a big oil and gas, you know, natural gas rig just right in the front lawn of the White House? You know, we might as well today. if they think it's so safe, put one there first. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, let's go put a, you know, construct a rig in Kasich's yard. And
that's what I said. Yeah, absolutely. If Healy wants it so much here in Canton, put one in your backyard first, see how it goes, and then we'll find out from there.
It's funny. On one of the messages I actually wrote to the mayor, and then I ended up deleting it, but... I told him, I said, you know, I think you should sit down and watch The Sky is Pink. You know, it's only, 18 minutes long?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not like it's going to be putting the mayor nor the city council out by watching it. Another thing, putting it out there that, you know, accountability and transparency is not going to happen when you have oil companies putting money in the politicians' hands. With this great idea of fixing our community or even helping the community. It's mm-hmm. not helping for the amount of money that they're giving us. I mean, if they decide to give us that amount, I mean, that's nothing compared to what our budget is. I mean, it's not even going to help.
Well, also compared to what the potential and likely costs are.
Right, the costs itself are... gonna triple, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, just right off the top. I mean, because of the way that Bill 3315 is worded, the oil and gas companies don't have to enter into an agreement as far as you know, fixing the roads. And our roads aren't the
Who's
roads that they
supply
most likely
our water.
Using aren't
our
going
water
to
is irreplaceable.
Exactly.
Well,
I mean,
right.
Look. I mean, we finally got rain the other day. Thank goodness. Now.
I was watching the news the other day. Apparently, we're going to need some 11 to 15 inches of rain to just get back to normal, how bad the drought has affected us, you know, just in Ohio. I don't know how it even is out west. You know, I know the weather patterns have been the same, but we have, you know, the rain has helped. But this drought is, you know, not to mention we want to do this oil and gas drilling well that, you know, everything's so dry and hot, it can catch fire so easily now, but yet we're doing a highly flammable, you know, method of oil and gas extraction while everything's dry and...
Did you guys by any chance mention the the two that were killed in Bolivar?
Yeah.
Okay.
That we did. That we did.
Well, you know, that you bring up something interesting there. It's like I know for certain of one. I heard reports that there is a second person who passed away as well, but I have not had that verified. Can you say for certain?
What's that? That there were two individuals?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't say for certain. No, I've heard both. The rep only reported one. I've heard two as well, but that's I can't prove it.
I mean, in either case.
Can we drink rainwater? I mean, I'm just asking, because, you know, can I just, like, buy a barrel and start drinking rainwater?
There is a process that you can. You can, you know, collect it, and it has to go through some sort of process. Actually, if Brian gets back from Food and Water, he might be able to enlighten you on that.
I mean, because, I mean, it would be safer than drinking fracked water. I mean, maybe that'd be a way for me to protect myself.
Well, yeah, and that's great, but you know what? If we're
maybe
in a drought,
not necessary. Well, that too. Yeah, the rain's few and far between.
And,
yeah, right, exactly.
And what if you know? I mean, stuff gets in the rain as well. I mean, you know, all that should be. Rain barrels are a very good and important improvement that everybody who can should do with their homes. If it's at all possible. But yeah, I mean, the point is that we shouldn't be doing that out of necessity.
I would rather take...
Our groundwater should be clean.
It should be.
It shouldn't be a question, in my opinion, anymore. Again,
the water report isn't blemish proof. It's not all that great right now. I mean, if they're going to add a little bit of fracking into it, it's going to make everything so much worse. I don't even want to drink city water now. Our water stinks.
I wouldn't.
I mean, our water literally stinks. It's not good.
It smells like you can actually smell something from the water. Is that what you're telling us right now?
Yeah.
What does it smell like?
I don't know.
Does it smell like rotting eggs?
Yes, kind of like rotten eggs or something.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Scott and I were talking about that the other day when he was running the shower. I was like, geez, kid, did you fart or something? And he's like, no, Mom, that's the water. It was like, it smelled like bacon and eggs almost.
Okay, so, Tinelle, you know,
so
honestly, you are honestly
smell like that.
Yes.
Have you talked to any of your neighbors?
About that? No.
Mr. Semper, have you noticed anything different about your water? Not yet. You seriously keep paying attention.
Is it ongoing or does it come and go?
It comes and goes.
Reportedly.
That's why I looked at the water report when it came in.
Methane can smell is why we're asking.
Well, I better stop drinking the tea. Maybe that's what gave me my kidney stones. Oh, wait. The doctors can't tell me.
That's... slam!
Woo! Honestly, this is something that it would be very much worth talking to your neighbors about and seeing if there's a cluster of people that are experiencing the same thing, then that is something definitely worth reporting. Plus, we need to get them to the city council meeting regardless. So wow, that's talk about breaking news. Goodness.
I would rather drink rain than I would my own water.
You
right
heard
now.
It first here, folks. Global Day of Action. And about T. Nelly's water supply, perhaps. Well, we got to check it out for ourselves.
It's suspect.
Suspect.
It's suspect.
Suspect right now. Surprising.
We're only 7 miles away from somebody who was drilling.
Well.
In East Canton, remember?
Yeah. Yeah, they're going underneath the school out there, too, which is just insane. They're underneath the high school out
there.
Well,
you know, what really gets me is... you know, they're doing it so close to these schools, these playgrounds. You know, what about our farmland? I mean, are you serious? Our corn's going to have some kind of crazy chemical in it that we're going to digest, and then we're going to get sicker than shit, and it's going to be related to fracking, and the doctors are going to say, oh, I'm sorry, nothing.
Well, not necessarily. Case is just showing doctors to be a little more creative. This is what he's doing. He's trying to give them a little more spots. Well, you can't say this, so you're going to have to say this. No, but seriously, that is very, very disturbing. And
that is disturbing.
And somber, in fact, like it is a really good example of what 315, was it Senate Bill 315, does or can do in prohibiting doctors and actually relaying and telling their patients what is wrong with them, if that's in fact true.
Well, well, that's the thing, is that if the doctors see a pattern through their patients of certain things happening, that's what they can't report.
A cluster, a community cluster of cancer, you know, and they notice it's
more common than you think here in Ohio already.
Right, but what I'm saying is, if the doctor decides that you know it could possibly do this, and he gets into his own research and he starts figuring this stuff out, what if he blows the whistle? I mean, are the big oil companies going to be like the mafia and come put a bullet in his head?
No, they'll sue.
I mean, same thing.
As that. We have,
we've already seen this issue. The doctors like to communicate through the medical journals and things like that. And in places in Pennsylvania where people have contaminated drinking water and it's getting contaminated with the ethylene glycol, people are having numerous health issues associated with that.
What are some of the symptoms that are occurring?
Well, a lot of times when people live near well pads, they'll see symptoms like losing their taste of smell, or their sense of taste, their sense of smell.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Things like ethylene glycol are going to bioaccumulate in your body and cause numerous health issues. And again, you can look at all that detailed information in some of our research on our website. So I invite you to check that out. But, you know, these doctors, they like to communicate through journals. When they see things like this come up, they'll communicate to other doctors in other affected areas, say, hey, watch for this.
Right. In that case, it can be like you know, peer-reviewed, and it's an official, you know, document.
And so because they haven't been able to communicate this through journals in Pennsylvania, they had a similar gag order. People are getting misdiagnosed, and the doctor will tell these people, drink more water. And so it compounds the issue, and they actually just continue to get sick because the doctor who is trying to diagnose these patients can't find any journal information on what's going on with these contaminations. And
can they write the journals anonymous? I mean, can we have a doctor write an anonymous journal?
Well, perhaps, but it doesn't have any credibility.
None.
At that point.
That's the thing. It would be all here.
You see, this would be a good thing for an anon
to get involved in. I mean, maybe they can actually shed some light on this and somehow make it so that they do have a part in their journal that for the gag orders, that, you know, that they have important information to get out and they're being gagged. So somebody's got to say something. It shouldn't be up to the people, the doctor. I mean, because I'm not a doctor. Right. I want to know. It's not up to me to get this information out. It's up to the doctors to get it out. And their credibility, I mean, is what's going to make the difference. I mean, and if they can't say anything and they can't get it out, then nobody's going to know anything.
Well, you just described their plan.
And there is a group working on this. If you know people in the medical professional, or you know medical professionals, the Ohio Citizen Action is trying to get doctors and medical health professionals to sign on to a letter asking the state to fix this. We don't think that if a doctor was to still release a journal or peer-reviewed article on some of the health effects they were seeing, that the oil and gas industry would be brazen enough to actually sue them, because that would be an extremely bold move. But what doctor is going to make that move? No doctor wants to put their license at risk. And so, you know, I think that what Ohio Citizen Action is doing is really great. And if I encourage anyone that knows medical health professionals, to encourage them to go to the Ohio Citizen Action website and sign on the letter.
Yeah, Ohio Citizen, they're one of the biggest nonprofits in Ohio, I believe. They're excellent.
So, looks like we're coming to the end of the show today. Next week we're going to have a lot more, including a call-in from all the way out in the
Kansas.
From Kansas. And so we'll have a lot to look forward to there.
Thank you for our special guest Brian coming on
again
today.
Yes, thank you very much.
Brian,
Water Watch. And once again,
appreciate it.
Global Frackdown, and in solidarity, a call for a global day of action on September 22nd.
22nd or 27th?
It was 22nd. What's the frack attack? It's coming up real quick. I think
frack attack's on the 28th.
The 28th.
July. Yep.
Okay.
And then, of course, here locally,
that's in Washington, D.C., by the way.
The big city council meeting on July 30th. And so we need as much support out there as we possibly can muster here in Canton. So this is it's a big day for us.
So if you want to get out there and save our water, you need to be at the city council meeting. Come the 30th, 7 p.m.
All right. This has been Revolution Radio, and as always, truth, love, and solidarity.
Love it.
Good morning, sunshine.
Something like, this is American music. Take one. One, two, three, four. Do you like American music? I like American music. Don't you like American music, baby?
American music.
I like American music.